In this episode, you will discover three ethical sales psychological tricks you can use to make your listeners buy.
Welcome to Why Your Podcast Isn't Growing, a show helping entrepreneurs with podcasts turn a slow growth show into a rapidly growing positive ROI podcast.
Hello, my name is Anthony Ranieri.
I'm Ty Gaucher.
And in this episode, you will discover how to make your listeners feel like they already trust you before you pitch anything.
The subtle belief nudges you can use today to shift your audience's identity so they see your offer as the next logical step.
And how giving too much information in your episodes is actually causing friction and resistance, making listeners not want to buy from you. And of course, what to do instead. Welcome back to another Monday episode where we give you three actionable things you can apply this week for faster podcast growth and monetization.
Sweet. Well, look, let's get into it. We've got some interesting psychology for you today. We personally find this stuff fascinating. Some of it will be drawn on some pretty random experiments that have happened over the years and have nothing to do with podcasting. But actually, when you think about how they can be applied to get your listeners to enjoy your content more, listen to more of it, buy from you, there's actually a lot of relevance to podcasting. So without further ado, Anthony, let's get into it. What's the first psychological trick someone can use to grow their podcast?
Psychological trick number one is known as the mere exposure effect. So back in the day, in 1968, a psychologist called Robert Zajonc ran a strange experiment. He showed participants images of nonsense words, unfamiliar faces, and even some Chinese characters. Some people saw an image once, whilst others were shown the images 5 times, 10 times, sometimes even 20 times. Then Zajonc asked everyone which ones they liked more. And over again, the ones they had seen more often were the ones that were rated as more likable, more trustworthy, and even said that they looked way more intelligent. But the strange thing is, the participants had no idea why they were making these specific ratings or why they rated them so high. They just felt way more comfortable with what felt familiar.
And this is exactly why people don't buy after one episode, right? Even if the content is amazing. We've all heard the average is like 7 hours of content before someone trusts you or buys from you or whatever. I think that's pretty subjective. I think that's a case-by-case basis. But the point is, things do take time and people trust more the more exposure they have. But besides just making more episodes and having people listen to more, I suppose, is there anything more specific that we can do within the content itself to accelerate that, Anthony?
So look, it's not just about creating, you know, more content so people like you, the host, that's important, right? But when it comes to selling your products, selling your services, it's just as important for your audience to actually feel like they have a buy-in and trust your frameworks, trust your particular style, trust that the process you've outlined is the right thing for them. So the more consistently you can repeat your core message, your voice, your philosophy around solving a particular problem, whether that's growing a podcast, whether that's healing from trauma, whether that's reducing anxiety, when you can repeatedly remind your audience about your specific strategy and why it works so well, that's when they actually build trust not only with you, but trust around your process and have that familiarity that, again, what you do will work for them. And that's when they actually feel way more open to wanting to buy from you.
So of course there's content and, you know, episode output that's all going to help people trust. But really, you can get even more out of each minute that someone listens to in each hour by consistently and intentionally resharing your message, really going over your philosophy, making sure that comes through in every episode. So the second trick is called the foot in the door technique. And it came about from a different psychological experiment ran in 1966 by two researchers called Friedman and Fraser. And what they did is they went door to door in a suburb, you know, in a neighborhood, and they asked the homeowners, would you put this small sticker in your window that says drive safe?
Hell yeah, of course I would, yeah.
Right, well, it's not even a hell yeah, it's just like a why not, I guess. Like, what's the harm? Like, it's pretty agreeable, right? And 2 weeks later, they came back with a huge and ugly billboard that said the same thing, but it was just big. It was like, you know, it's not a casual thing you just put in the window. They said, would you place this on your lawn?
Ooh.
And the twist is that the people who had agreed to the small sticker were 4 times more likely to say yes to the massive billboard, even though it was intrusive, it was in the way, and again, quite ugly.
Interesting. That's super interesting. And I guess, like, you know, this story and this psychological principle, like, how does that relate to, you know, podcasting? How the hell do we use this to make more sales on our show?
Well, the foot in the door technique is also very linked to a different principle that we probably know called consistency bias or consistency identity, which is when someone says kind of like a micro yes or makes a smaller commitment, they are confirming who they are, and it's confirming, you know, their choices and their character. And so they are more likely to act in alignment. They want to act in alignment with that character, meaning that if you ask a bigger request that follows the same idea or principle, they're more likely to say yes. And what this means in terms of the podcast application is that you can fill your content with very small yes moments, right? These are just rhetorical questions that they agree with and frameworks that are simple enough to just get behind very easily. That's something very casual. For example, you know, wouldn't it be cool if you could make the same amount of content, spend the same amount of time recording, but just have a slight edge on your competitors that got your listeners to just like and trust you a little bit more? Yeah, that'd be great, right?
That would be awesome, right?
Yeah. Isn't this a game changer, Anthony? Isn't it?
Yeah, it is a game changer. I see. Okay, so I get it. So the point here is kind of like, throughout the podcast, get your audience to, again, kind of engage with you and have like these moments, like you mentioned, of just getting them to say yes. And by them saying yes and yes and yes, they're becoming more and more agreeable. They're kind of aligning themselves with your values. They're kind of aligning themselves and agreeing that your process, your way of thinking, your strategy does actually, in fact, work. So then when it comes to then, let's say, you pitching to book a call or to buy a product or to join a community or to take a lead magnet, again, they're kind of in alignment with you and they're far more likely to then say yes. Am I getting that
exactly?
Right,
yeah, yeah, 100%. It's more of a natural way to build up to those bigger requests, right? Which is really just to take a call to action of any kind. So we've got one more for you. Can you see how these things would work? Aren't these game changers? See what I did there? Anthony, hit us with a final...
Yes.
Hit us with a final psychological trick.
So the final psychological trick is known as the narrative transportation. Now, I'm not going to lie to you, when you hear and listen to this story, you might be a bit confused about the name. I'm not going to lie, you know, like, but here we are anyways. So look, in 2000, that sounds so weird saying like in 2000, not like in early 2000s, literally in 2000. Psychologist Melanie Green and Tim Brook conducted a series of experiments around persuasion. They split participants up into two groups. One read a factual article about the dangers of smoking, why smoking's bad, avoid smoking. The others read a emotional story about a woman who died from lung cancer. They found out her name, her struggles, her regrets. And then after that, they were asked, hey, how dangerous do you think smoking is? Now, the story group rated the dangers as being way higher. And many of them even changed their opinions from thinking it wasn't dangerous to thinking it's way more dangerous. Now, here's the wild part. The people who were reading the story didn't feel like they were being persuaded. They just got emotionally transported into the character's life.
And what this means for you when you're podcasting is every time you make something that is backed by stats, something that's a bit more logical or analytical, for example, a step-by-step guide or a list of tips or just talking about features, you're speaking to the analytical brain, right? But stories really bypass resistance that can come up from the analytical brain. They let people feel the value instead of analyzing it, I think is probably the best way to put it. And so particularly with things like solo episodes, case studies, etc., try to drive stories and really make stories a focal point of them, as we've done here, actually, you might even notice, to drive home the message rather than just coming in with the cold, hard facts. Get people to see themselves in that, get your listeners to hear themselves, feel themselves in that. And naturally, they'll really, really get behind what you're saying a lot more. They stop critiquing it and they start imagining it, right? Which is what gets people to really take action. So I've really enjoyed learning about these stories and these psychological experiment. And I think personally think it's fascinating. Me and Anthony actually nerd out about this, about how all this stuff from seemingly the far ends, like just stuff that isn't related to podcasting, is actually extremely relevant to podcasting. It just depends how hard you look and, you know, how much you can kind of make the connection. And so we've covered how exposure, merely exposure on its own, can get someone to trust something more. And so what that means for you is obviously, yes, more episodes are going to be better. You knew that anyway. But really what you can take, which will give you a bit of an edge, is that more of showcasing your message and more, the more listeners really hear your philosophy and your story and your what you stand for in your episodes, then you will be making people know, like, and trust you more by mere exposure.
We then covered the foot and door technique, which is also known as the consistency bias, meaning if you just get your audience to have little micro agreements through your episodes, they become more agreeable and they become way more in alignment with your strategy, your process, your philosophy, which means by the end, when you ask them for a request to join your email list or buy your program or join your community, they are way more likely to what? Remain consistent and say yes.
And then thirdly, we have the somewhat obscure name, narrative transportation, which I think we could probably word it in many different ways. But essentially, we know that stories really get people behind a message and can change people's beliefs in a much more effective way than just stats alone, because we will run into the analytical mind looks for resistance, whereas the emotional mind doesn't really, or not in the same way. And so stories are a great all-encompassing way of providing the facts while also really helping listeners imagine themselves in the story or put themselves in someone else's shoes. All crucial things if you want to grow a podcast that nurtures listeners, moves them along your sales cycle, ultimately makes you more money.
And look, if you haven't already, be sure to go down to the show notes and grab your free copy of our best-selling book, Podcast Marketing, or typing www.getmorelisteners.com/book. And of course, what you'll also get is a totally personalized mini show audit that's completely personalized to you and your podcast. Yes, like I've said 1,000 times, this is absolutely 100% a bribe and a way to get you into our world and what we're doing.